In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson for this last Sunday in the season of Epiphany is Luke's version of the Transfiguration. In commenting on the Transfiguration story, renowned religious writer Phyllis Pickle notes that the Greek word used is metamorphosis, which has been translated into the English word transfigured. Transfigured does not quite convey what Phyllis Pickle calls something like change shape and beingness and allness into some other form thereof, or something equally awkward and wordy. In reality, she says what happened was a metamorphosis in which Jesus' whole appearance and very being was altered. Thus, she says that the great truth of the Transfiguration just may be that experiencing God always lies beyond the reach of articulated theology and never within it. Experiencing God always lies just beyond the reach of articulated theology and never within it. That is, the Transfiguration shows the glory of God in a way that cannot be captured in words, but can only be known in an indescribable experience of God, an experience of the Holy. The literary allusions and metaphors in the Transfiguration story have been analyzed in numerous scholarly commentaries, yet I think Phyllis Pickle's comments get at the heart of the story, which is about what it means to be close to God. In the Exodus story heard this morning, Moses' face is unbearably bright from being in God's presence. Yet in the Luke story, Jesus' whole being is unbearably bright, since Jesus is the actual Son of God and thus far greater than the revered Moses or even the mighty prophet Elijah. In the eyes of the three disciples, Jesus' visage was changed, and his astonishing appearance was impossible to explain or describe to anyone who was not present to witness this event. Hence, they told no one what they had seen. For who would have believed them, even if Peter or James or John could have found words to depict how Jesus had appeared to them? It seems that the incarnate God actually must have looked like a divine being at that moment, and no mere words could have captured that experience for others to share. The key theme for me from the Transfiguration story lies in an examination of what it means for us to be close to God. For our closeness to God is what molds who we are. Our proximity to God enables us, at least metaphorically, to radiate God's presence and God's love in and to the world. Let me try to explain more clearly what I mean by giving an example. I firmly believe that there are thin places and thin times in our lives if we are open to God's presence. For example, there are times in my work with those dying in hospice care when I am in just such a thin place, a place where the veil between God's glory and this earthly life is almost transparent. In those times, God can seem very close, and time seems suspended, and nothing seems to exist except that room and that moment in time. In those holy spaces, I often play words that do not seem to even come from my mouth. It's impossible to convey an accurate sense of what I mean, but I know those times are when the Holy Spirit is palpable. Those are times when the Holy Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans. I know that those sacred moments mold me and even enable me to convey God's presence and love to the suffering. I cannot take any responsibility for those times because they don't come from me, from my own efforts or my puny attempts at prayer. These are experiences with the dying where only the Holy Spirit is at work. Yet those times are one example of what it means to be in a sin place that is close to God. There's one final lesson from today's gospel story, and it's found in the message God gives from the crowd. He tells Jesus' followers to listen to God's Son. Only when we are listening to Jesus' words, both as recorded in the gospel account and as we may hear them with the ears of our own hearts, only then can we be close to God and do the work God intends for us to accomplish as God's hands and hearts in this broken world. So the final question I would leave for you to ponder this day is, what voices do you or I need to block out if we are to listen to God and thereby become closer to God? What keeps us from hearing God's voice and God's message of unconditional, unending love for us? What keeps us from closeness to God, from being molded by God? We receive God's messages to us only when we're willing to hear and not distracted by other things. As we enter the season of Lent, may God quiet the clutter around us and within us so that we may become closer to God and truly listen to the teachings of Jesus. Amen.